Good morning.
Good morning.
Anyone have indigestion this morning?
No.
We had a great time of fun and fellowship yesterday afternoon for our Father's Day celebration. We had a chili cook-off. Someone in here won. I don't know who. There's some pretty good chili there. But let's move on. Molly was one, Joyce second, and Ruthie was third. I finished 10th out of 9 contenders. Kenny, we'll get over this. I promise you. I told Kenny this morning, we'll get through this, Kenny. Him and I did the most bragging, so I think Kenny was number 9, I was number 10. I was number 9 contenders. But we'll be fine, Kenny. We're glad you're with us today. Isn't it nice that we can come into the house of the Lord and be in prayer and diligent for praying for one another and still have a sense of humor in church? That's okay. I'm okay with that. I do have a few announcements for us this morning. We do have a praise that our dining out with Lakeside Ladies had 15 ladies, I believe, on Monday or Tuesday evening. They went out and had dinner together. That's becoming a great fellowship group, and we'd encourage all the women in the church. Next month, they're going to Park Avenue Grill, so I think I'm going to show up for that. So, I may be there as well. We're putting together a list for the ball game on July 26th. We've got half a dozen or so people signed up. If you're interested in going up to Roger Dean Stadium for a baseball game, it's faith and family night. They do have a big emphasis on faith. You get to hear some of the ball players' testimonies as well. So it's a great time of just fun and fellowship as well. Our Connect card, I forgot to mention that first. Be sure to get your Connect cards out and sign them and drop them in the offering plate as they come along. And if you have specific prayer requests for the service today, you see your prayer cards there in front of you in the pew. Just hand those to the ushers as they come around during our praise music as well. Reminder, Monday night is our game night at 6:30. We'll be meeting in the fellowship hall for some fun and games, card games, and board games. So come and have a time of friendly competition Monday night as well. Next Saturday is our United Methodist Men's garage sale. We hold it out back now there. And if you have any items, Michael, are you going to be available to pick up items this week?
Yes.
Okay, so call the office and Carolyn will arrange that as well. Have Michael and the men come and pick up your larger items that you can't bring in yourself. So next Saturday, remember the garage sale for that as well. We've had a great time this weekend in fellowship, and now let's continue in the spirit of worship this morning as we prepare ourselves for the worship service today.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and died.
strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. For our struggle is not against the flesh and the blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. So we sing, as we sing this morning, imagine putting on your full armor of God so that you can take a stand against today's evil schemes.
Thank you.
That means that David trusted God to help him, to give him the ability to take care of Goliath. The fifth stone represents victory. And our victory comes from who? What's the one perfect answer in church called? God, right? So that fifth stone represents victory because God will help us defeat our giants in our life. So we don't need these stones necessarily. You want me to take that? Thank you. All right. So when we have a giant in our life, we have to turn to God, right? That true? You believe that? Good deal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we face giants in our lives. We pray that you would give us not just the stones like David had, but to have the victory in Christ that we can call on God to help us with our giants. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. You guys going to Sunday school? All right. Miss Maria's back there. She's waiting for you. Oh, wait a minute. Sit down. Sit down. I'm sorry. Sit down. And turn around because we have a special treat. You know, we loaned out our handbells to Miss Ann McCarthy's daughter. She's a teacher. And let me read what I'm supposed to read. It's in your bulletin. Look at your bulletin. Only a little confused. We have a little video that they put together. We were hoping they could come and do a handbell concert for us. But you know the problems with putting together something like that. We have a little video Miss Ann is going to show thanking us for the use of our handbells during this school year. Turn around and look at the screen.
There's a time in our service now when we go before the Lord in prayer. We've had trials in our own church family this week, as well as the tragedy in Charleston, South Carolina. Hear these concerns brought before us as a congregation today. Continuing to pray for Richard Fearman. He has been placed in hospice care this week as well, and really has had a difficult time, and just for God to continue to work mightily in his life. Mary Hannah's nephew, Corey Green, he's been discharged from the Navy with PTSD, and he just needs our prayers for him and his family. So let's continue, or lift up Corey this week. Maricela is asking blessings on her grandchildren here this morning. So Victoria, Leonel, Angel, and Santiago, and for their father, Victor, that God's grace would be in his life as well. Katie Geddes leads on a 6-week backpacking trip in Europe, so Nancy's asking prayers for her, for her safe journey and travels, and what an exciting time. Max continues to ask for our prayers and thanksgiving as he's beginning to see better and better each day. So Max, we're definitely continuing to pray for your vision to recover. Andy is asking for just some help with faith issues and to stay strong in his faith. And Andy, we will continue to pray for that as well. Tammy Malden had surgery this week. Tammy's with us, I believe. He's still here. Tammy had oral surgery. Continue to pray for her as well. David Nagel, another gentleman that sits there towards the back, he has been placed under hospice care this week as well. He suffered a fall and now is in some organ failure as well, so he's been placed in hospice care. We continue to pray for Dan Walsh. Dan's with us today and continue to heal and feel better every day. And just pray for continued strength and healing, Dan. Mary Ann Davis experienced a fall this week, a very horrible fall, and banged her head and broke 2 vertebrae in her neck. So she has really had a severe setback. I spoke with her on Friday, and she's really down in the dumps, so if you could drop her a card or something, that would be great. But she's doing so well, and now has taken a fall. My wife Nancy asking for peace and trust in the Lord this morning. Travel and moving mercies for a family moving up to Nashville. Grandson DJ was with us. I guess he's with us this morning, Michael, as well. But they're just celebrating. They had him for a couple of weeks, so Michael. And we do lift up this morning our brothers and sisters at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. What a tragic event this week. Isn't it nice to see love and God's provision and grace just outflow from that church and how they sought forgiveness for the young man that perpetrated such a horrible act. And we continue to stand with them in solidarity. And this morning we bring the 9 families that were so horribly affected by that senseless act of violence and evil and hatred. But isn't it nice to see God's people come together in love? Charleston has shown quite an example of how to react to such a horrible event, unlike St. Louis and Baltimore, when things happened that were just wrong as well. But the reactions of the people of Emmanuel AME Church and the people of Charleston has come together in love, and that's what we all should do. So I know you bring things this morning as well to the foot of the cross. Let's now go before the Lord in prayer. You pray with me, please. You are an awesome God. We come this morning with some questions, Lord. We have questions as to why such evil in our world today, such hatred for one another. Father, we come together this morning in solidarity for lives lost in such a tragic way. But Father, we're giving you praise that you have let God's people come together in unity and love, and to even reach out to the one that has done this horrible act in forgiveness and in love as well. be with all of those families affected and all of us as Christians who see once again that evil can take out our brothers and sisters in this world. But Father, we rest assured that you stand with us, you hold us, you embrace us during these troubled times. Father, we love you and we're grateful if we have a place and a God so big we can turn to you in our time of need. Father, you've heard our request this week. Some loved members of our congregation is suffering, possibly near the end of their time on this earth. But we rest assured in the glory beyond. And as families and friends have struggled with these dire situations this week, Father, the peace of Christ has been in these situations. Father, I pray for David Nagel's family in Pennsylvania and wherever they are scattered today, Lord, where they're so far from him, they still love and care for him. I pray for peace for them, for his daughter Andrea, who was just heartbroken when she had to leave this week. Father, I pray for peace for them. For Richard Fearman, his friends have gathered around him this week. After a day of celebration on his birthday, the next day, he has an episode that took him close to death. We pray for those who love and care for him as well. We seek divine grace in his life. For Mary Ann, who fell and had quite a setback this week. We were celebrating her recovery, and now the setback is taking her back a step. We pray for peace and comfort for her. Father, for all of these requests this morning lifted up, we know you're the answer. We know you're where we have to turn to for answers. When we ask why, we've got to see God's face in those questions. So, Father, as we come together today in concern for our loved ones and for our friends and neighbors, and for those that have gone on to heaven this week, and those that may be nearing that destiny, we come together as a family. It's Father's Day. It's a day we celebrate the men in our lives who have made a difference in who we are. It's a time when we come together to remember not only our earthly Father, but our Father in heaven. Father, we're grateful for the men you've put in our lives. I pray for my own dad on our first Father's Day without him here. Difficult time. But Father, we know where he is. And we know our fathers that have gone on to their heavenly glory are still guiding us in our hearts. So Father, today we celebrate our fathers. We celebrate the men that have represented God in our lives. We are grateful and thankful. Father, we lift up our torn and tattered world. Father, we need your help. We need it desperately. We need your peace and we need your comfort. And Father, we are a people of hope. We are an Easter people. God is good and he loves us. And we know that. So Father, be with us in our service today. Let us feel your Holy Spirit presence here among us. Let us feel lives being changed as we speak. Thank you, Father, as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Thank you.
as a shepherd watches his flock. Christ cares for us and saves us from those who would do us harm. Let us offer our thanks and gratitude as we share our gifts with the weak and weary world. Would the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
scripture today comes from 1 Samuel 17. Some assorted verses there listed. Please stand for the reading of His Word if you're able this morning. Starting in 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled in Socoh in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damon between Socoh and Azekah. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor and bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man, and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all Israelites were dismayed and terrified. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines early in the morning. David left the flock with the shepherd loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we seek the giants in our own life, we pray that we would have 5 small stones, each one a symbol of Your faithfulness to us. Father, let this message reach deep within us to fight against our own giants. We pray in Jesus' holy name for this guidance. Amen. Please be seated. In our scripture today, we hear of a young lad that is prepared to face his giants. Now, his lifetime has been spent getting ready and prepared for this moment. And in preparation, he was confident in his own skills. I'm going to start with a story this morning. There was this young man who went to this farm and he wanted to apply for the job of a worker there at the farm. And the farmer asked this young man, "What are your qualifications?" And what he told the farmer was, "I can sleep when the wind blows." Now, that's a rather bizarre qualification, isn't it, for being a farm hand? I can sleep when the wind blows. Now, the farmer thought that was strange, but he liked the young man and he hired him. A few days later, the farmer and his wife were awakened in the night by a violent storm. They quickly ran about the farm looking for things to tighten up and to check on, but they found that all was secure. They found that the shutters at the farmhouse had been securely fastened. A good supply of logs had been set next to the fireplace, and this young man slept soundly. The farmer and his wife, they inspected their property. They found that the farm was, everything was in its place. The tools were in the shed. The tractor had been put away. The barn was properly locked. Even the animals were calm. All was well. The farmer then understood what the young man meant. He said,
can sleep when the wind blows. Do you get that? He had made preparations. He had taken care of all the details. And when the storms came, he slept like a baby. I like that story. How about you? Can you always sleep when the storms of life are blowing around you? That's tough, isn't it? When things are tough, we get scared. But if you've been prepared and you're ready, the storm of life could not break his sleep. He was not afraid. He could sleep in peace. There was nothing dramatic or sensational in this young man's preparations. He just faithfully did what he needed to do each day. He took care of business. Do you have that sense of accomplishment and fulfillment at the end of the day when you've taken care of the needs of the day? Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to bed at night, sometimes there's things that I've not been able to take care of. And I'm a little nervous about it. Does my faith waver? Sometimes. Sometimes I have to ask God, God, am I ready for this? We have expectations of ourselves. Does anyone set your expectations for yourself a little too high sometimes? If you are willing to admit it. I think I set my expectations for myself way too high most of the time. I find myself somewhat disappointed at the end of the day when I thought there was more to accomplish today, and what did I actually do? Something to think about. Do you think we're ever able to meet God's expectations for us? Do you know what God's expectation is for you? God does not give us more than we can handle.
Amen.
You heard that before? I've had to say sometimes that's a bunch of hooey. God, you've given me more than I can handle today. God says, trust me. But that's the wonderful thing. We can meet God's expectations. It's hard for us sometimes to think God's expectations aren't higher than our own. How many of you feel intimidated by what God is expecting of you? Boy, a lot more hands went up then. So God's expectations for you are harder than your own. But God created us. He knows what's within us. Have you ever thought about that? God knows your heart. And God knows what you were created to do. A big part of my life is asking God, God, what have you created me for? Show me something. Give me some inside knowledge here. I know you have a plan for me. Let me in on the secret. Do you ever feel pressure from those that love you, of their expectations of you? I know what some people think, what the will is for my own life. They expect a lot out of me. We feel pressures from our culture, from our loved ones. What makes us successful? If you watch television and the advertisements that come on TV, do you realize you're a failure? Every commercial is telling you where you fall short and what you need to be happy. You are not standing up to today's culture and what makes you happy. I'm not going to be happy until I'm driving a Cadillac, CTX, or whatever that new sports car is. The commercial told me so. Their expectations of what would make me happy are a little different than my own. We have weaknesses.
We're a victim of our own limitations. Paul spoke of that. Paul was overwhelmed by his own weaknesses. He wanted to do so much more for God, but he couldn't because he was weak. But God does not expect from us what we cannot give. Now that line right there puts even more pressure on us. God does not expect any more from us than we can give. Are we giving all we've got for God? Now raise your hand. There's always some of you in the crowd. You raise your hand at the most inappropriate times. I got to have a class on that. Okay, there's three people on this side of the room that they got to know. Okay, good. God does not expect more from us than we can give. They're exactly in line with the abilities and talents that He's given us. Do you know you have abilities and talents, and God has given you them for a reason?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, He has.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul knew this. He prayed for God to take away these troublesome parts of his life. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul's response was to then say, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." You ever thank God every day for your weaknesses? Probably not many of you do that, do you? Do we thank God for where we are weak? He doesn't expect too much, but neither does He expect too little. Now it's getting a little more touchy. Do we give God a little bit of ourselves? Is it too hard to put forth the effort? If we have no expectations of ourselves, what makes us want to even meet God's expectations? Food for thought this morning. It's important for us to seek God's will. How often do I stand up here and tell you, seek God's will in your life? If you're like me, it's hard for us to stumble upon that will. Romans tells us it's important to seek God's will and do it. God will give to each person according to what He has done. For those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, now that's not saying we're going to get into heaven by our works. That won't work, will it?
Nope.
But what it does say is we have taken advantage and the ability that God has given us, and we have done the right thing. The second thing is being at peace with ourselves. How many of you are okay with who you are? I know. Good. See, you wouldn't do it until I did it, see? Now, I thought I was going to win that chili cook-off. I would just do what I was going to. I thought I'd brag enough that I was going to win. I can't cook very good chili, but I can talk smack. We need to be happy with who we are and our gifts and our abilities. Our call from God. God has created us to be us.
Amen.
Learn to be grateful for the person God has created you to be. And let the rest go.
Amen.
So it's not so much living up to our own expectations. David and his five smooth stones. When I first got into ministry, I put together a message on this scripture and these five small stones. And at different points in David's life, once they were going out on their raiding parties and his army was just worn out, and they stopped beside this stream and found an oasis. In David's childhood, he found five small stones to defeat a giant.
And later in life, when he was out conquering, they needed a break, and he went by this same small stream. I'd like to equate that to our church, family. Where do we go when we need relief? Where do we go if we need some stones? We come to church. We be with God's people. We study the Word. When we need a place to rest and life has been rough, we come to church. Brooke Besor, B-E-S-O-R. That's the name of that little creek where I come from. We call it a creek. And there wasn't much more, right, fellows, people that were with us on the trip? We were on a bus just traveling across the valley of Elah, I think it was, and our guide said, "Hey, bus driver, pull over here. We've got a few extra minutes. We're going to go down to this creek, because this is where David found his five stones." When I first prepared that message resounded within me as to why we got church. When we got off the bus and we went down that slippery slope towards the creek, and I yelled down to Don, "Bring me up five stones, Don." And Don scrambled down that muddy bank, but it looked a little too slippery for me. Several people went down there and picked these stones up. You know the amazing part of this? All week I meant to call Don and tell him to let me borrow his stones. I have some, but I wouldn't know where to begin to look for them. I knew Don probably knew where his was. And all week I forgot to ask him for these stones. We even had breakfast, and I meant to ask him, but I didn't. What was it? Friday, he shows up at the office, and he says, "I see the sign out there has five smooth stones on it. I want to wonder if Pastor David would like to use these." God must have touched him, Don, because I've been always asking if I could borrow them. And the nice little sling, he bought this over there. Could you kill a giant with that? Now, Don showed me how to use this. Okay, so it up. Everybody get down, and I can give it a shot. Could you kill a giant with that? Yes, you can, apparently. Thank you, Don, for listening to the nudge this week. When we live our life full of love, we can be thankful for what God has given us. When we need stones, He will provide that. When we need a shade tree and some water, He will provide that. That's what we do church for, folks. The Bible tells us, as children of God, let's not talk about love, let's practice real love. As a church, we've got to practice love. We saw God's love in the church this week, Mother Emmanuel. Have you seen the prayer vigils going on? There's prayer vigils here locally as well. People are coming out in love. The families of those slaughtered, forgiving this young man. Nancy and I talk about this all the time. How do you forgive people that are so wrong? Maybe taking someone that is most precious to you. When the Amish had their nightmare at the school, you know, when all those children were slaughtered, the Amish went to that person, the man's wife's house, and forgave him and asked if there was anything they could do for her. That's tough. Could I do that? I don't know. I hope I could, but you know, I haven't had to face that. We saw it played out this week in Charleston. We see it played out in our own lives, don't we? Sometimes we have to forgive people. They might not have killed a loved one, but are you good at forgiving? I talk to people a lot about forgiveness. People, we have misconceptions about what forgiveness means. Some people think when we forgive, we're just to say, "It was okay you did that to me. I'll forgive all about it. We're good. We'll go on about life." That's not what forgiveness is. Who is the greatest person to help when you forgive someone? Who
Yourself.
Yourself. It's not about forgetting what someone did to you. It's not about saying, it's okay, you did that to me. It's saying, I forgive you as Jesus Christ forgave you.
Amen.
I'll always remember it. I'll always be hurt by it. But I'll take that burden of anger and sadness off of me and giving it up to God.
Amen.
That's what that means. It's not about forgetting and saying everything was fine. It's about saying, I'm going to go on with my life. I'm not going to let the power of what you've done in my life ruin my life. I'm taking that power back. David heard these threats by a judge. David was prepared. He had to tell Saul, I fight bears and lions all the time with this. I'm good with that. Saul said, no, I want you to wear this big suit of armor.
He's walking here. Okay, let's fight. Got 800 pounds of armor hanging on me. I wonder if I can sling my rock.
He said, no, God has prepared me with this right here. This is all I need. The Israelite army said, you'll never defeat him with this. You better wear all that armor. David said, no, God has prepared me. There again, did David say, I can do this on my own? What did David do? I can only do this with God's help. We're not to conform to the pattern of this world. Romans 12 tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is. His good, pleasing, perfect will. Are we living in the will of God? Are we living in the way that makes God smile? As individuals, I think we do pretty good. As a culture, as a society, as a world, things are getting a little out of hand, folks. Things are a little out of hand. I can be a politician because I can stand up here and say, yeah, we have a big problem. I don't know what the answer is, but elect me and put me in there and open up the sun. Folks, the problems of this world and their own life are big problems. They have big answers. I can't stand here before you and say, I've got an insight into what we need to do to straighten this mess out. But all I can do is rely on God, like David did, and hope that these five little stones are enough. They are enough. And as God's people, we have to be confident in that. Amen?
Amen.
We have to be confident that God is going to do what He needs to do for each one of us. We need to prepare. That's what David did. That's what that young farmhand did. He prepared before. In the time of peace, we prepare. We're ready for what hits us. We need to be prepared. Why did David pick up five stones that day? Because David only had one shot. 2 Samuel 21 tells us he had one shot. But after that battle, there was another battle against the Philistines at Gob. As they fought Sibekai from Hushah, they killed Saph, another descendant of the generals. In still another battle at Gob, Elhanan, son of Jair from Bethlehem, killed the brother of Goliath of Gob. The handle of his spear was as thick as a weaver's beam. In another battle with the Philistines at Gob, a huge man with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, a descendant of the giants, defied and taunted Israel, but he was killed by Jonathan, the son of David's brother Shemaiah. These four Philistines were descended from the giants of Gob, but they were killed by David and his warriors. You ever heard that before? There wasn't just one giant, there was five giants that Israel had to defeat in later battles. David knew going in
slaves away. I wonder if he carried those 5 smooth stones with him to each battle. Sounds like he did.
With Goliath, he had 1 shot and took it. 4 other battles, they needed that same animal. And he had it. He was prepared. You get the gist of this story? He was prepared. David wasn't just settling on the 1. He was prepared for the other 4 as well. That puts a whole new spin on that story, doesn't it? Why did he need 5? He only needed 1. Because there were some other battles to come. There were some other giants to face. David was anointed by God to give him the strength, the passion for preparation. We've all been anointed by God. Do you feel anointed today?
Yes.
I hope you leave here feeling the power of God in your life. You all have the same anointing that David does. When you step out, others take notice. Others are affected by your anointing. Do you realize you affect others around you because of your anointing by God? Think about it. Those Philistines didn't run because David killed Goliath. The reason the Philistines ran was because God was on that side. They were afraid of Israel's God. That's why they ran. But God's going to prepare you. You're going to step out in anointing. You can change your home, your church, your community, those around you, those sitting next to you today. That's what God's anointing does for each one of us. A great prop today would have had a bag of these rocks at the back door for you to take 5 with you. So we don't even want any windows broken out of cars out here. Pray to God outside and start swinging with each other. But just be aware that God has anointed you. You carry these 5 stones with you. You carry the power to do what God has asked you to do. Meet God's expectations for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've given you the power to be the anointed blessing in our lives. Father, thank you for 5 smooth stones. But also thank you for letting us prepare for the storms that rage around us. Let us be a people of hope. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
You stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Continue to be the people of hope anointed by God's will. Live up to your own expectations, but seek out God's expectations for you. They're not nearly as hard to achieve. Father, be with us as we leave this place. Let us continue to seek your face in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.